If you want to turn your hymn into your hymnals, into your Bible, Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49, and if you feel like standing for the reading of the word. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the river crashed against that house and couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the destruction of that house was great. Lord, we ask that you be in this service. Give me the words to speak and the ears for those to hear. We ask it in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you ever seen any pictures or if you've ever been to the ocean. I haven't, so I don't have anything but pictures. But I've seen on the news where they've had houses that were built on the sand and the beach, you know, and look like beautiful houses, you know, they're hanging over there and you're kind of looking at it going, how on earth do they stay up? Well, some of them don't. They're built too much on the beach and the sand and the waves and the wind comes and it destroys them. But I've also seen some of them that are built among the rocks and on the rocks. And they stand and they don't blow, they don't tilt, they don't get destroyed when the winds and that comes up. And that's some of what the Lord is saying here. In Matthew, in chapter 7, verses 24-28, it's kind of the same thing here, but I'm going to read it anyway. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse, because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. So, two different places here, the Lord is saying the same thing. One of the key words in this is act. If you don't act on what he says. You know, you listen to his words, but you don't do what he says. I was reading I've been doing devotions, and I've been reading in Genesis, and I've been reading about Abraham and the covenant that God made with Abraham and how much God wanted a relationship with Abraham and with his people. And God created, you know, he created this covenant and he created laws for us to go by, you know. Good laws, I suppose. I think all laws are intended, you know, on helping. A lot of them I kind of wonder why we have them because they seem kind of dumb. But God had created these laws. The problem with the laws was they couldn't keep them. You know, they had these laws, and you know they had sacrifices they had to do. You bring the perfect lamb or the perfect goat, and you put it on the altar, the priest burned it, did whatever. You confessed your sins, and that. And away you went. But some of those laws, some of those sacrifices, the punishment was death. You know, if you blasphemed the Lord, you know, which You hear people doing that all the time these days, you know, using God's name and cursing. It was death. They said, you know, it didn't matter whether they confessed or not, or asked for forgiveness or not. They were told to take them out, put your hands on them, and everybody was to stone them, kill them. So some of the things that they did and the sacrifices that were done, it was too bad, you know. It wasn't going to be fixed. And the people had to go to the priest, you know, to do that, to confess their sins, to have all these rituals done. And still, God didn't have his relationship with his people like he wanted. You know, they kept getting sidetracked. You know, you read different places in the Old Testament where they started worshiping idols from these people that they came to conquer, you know. And they had Baal and different ones that they worshipped. And one of the stories that Nicole always loved when she was a kid was the story of Dagon, and how Dagon couldn't stand up to God. I think it was the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant, and they brought him into their temple where Dagon was. Dagon was some kind of a fish-like man statue, and they brought the Ark in there, and Dagon kept falling over, and he'd break pieces off of him, and they'd set him back up there, you know, and they'd come back in, and Dagon was down again, and they'd put him back up there, and finally they said, hey, we need to get rid of this thing. This Ark is really powerful. We need to get rid of it, you know. And Nicole just loved that story. She thought that was the greatest thing. And, you know, it was, I always liked the story. I thought it was pretty good. But it showed the power of God and how much God loved his people. But, you know, like I said, still God could not have his relationship that he wanted. He had a few he did, you know, Abraham, Moses, Isaac, you know, Jacob, different ones he had it. King Solomon, you know, wisest man on earth. God told him he could have anything he wanted. He chose wisdom. It's wonderful. But even he messed up because he took all these women as his wives and he started worshiping the idols from these different women. And so, you know, that was a big thing. So God, looking at the situation, knowing from the beginning of time that they were going to need a sacrifice that would stick. And so he sent his only son. Jesus paid a debt that we couldn't pay and that he didn't know. God loved us so much that he did, you know, he wanted to have this relationship with his people. And the only way was to have a perfect being be the perfect sacrifice. And so his son was sent. And Jesus saves us all, saves all who come to him. By his grace and mercy, we have eternal life. So we no longer have to be, we no longer have to have a perfect lamb to lay on the altar because Jesus was the perfect lamb. We can now have that relationship with our Heavenly Father that he has wanted to have all this time. And Jesus is the rock. So, you know, this scripture that we're looking at, that's what he's saying, you know. Build your relationship on him. Talk to him. Pray to him. Worship him, listen to him, obey him. Do what he wants you to do. Then your foundation is solid. The storms of life, all the things that come up against us, will stand strong. We won't falter when we lose someone, when we lose our job, when we get hurt and we get sick and we're trying to figure out, why is this happening? You know, I think of a poem. I'm sure you guys have all heard it, The Footprints on the Sand. I've always loved that poem. And one of the parts that I love so much out of it is where it's talking about, you know, the person is saying, Lord, where are you at? I only see one set of footprints in the sand. Where are you? And he says, I'm carrying you. You're seeing my footprints. And I always looked at that going, yeah, you know, that's a relationship with Jesus. That's having your life built on that rock. He won't falter, won't fall apart, can't be destroyed by any of the circumstances that come against us. He will stand strong, and he will give us strength to be able to get through it. So when you are looking at your footprints, when you're seeing just that one set and you're saying, Lord, where are you? Because I feel like I'm just overpowered here with this circumstance I'm in. And I don't know if I'm coming or going. I feel exhausted from trying to do it. And the Lord is saying, I'm carrying you. Build your house on me. Build your life on me. I will carry you through it. What he did on the cross for me is more than enough. I talked to Nicole the other night, and I was telling her that all the stuff that the Lord has done for me, if he had not done anything for me other than dying on the cross for me, that would have been enough. Because that's the most important thing, is that he died for me. And he is the rock. He's my salvation. I've built my life on it. Have you built yours on him? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your words. We thank you for being here. We thank you, Lord, that you are the rock of our salvation and that we can build our life on you. And we ask, Lord, that you help us to be able to get through all the circumstances in our life, all the troubles. Help us to see that you are carrying us and that we are building our life on you, the rock of our salvation. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.